As we look in Isaiah chapter 29 in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 29, as we look today, the theme of this chapter is trouble. It is trouble, and the Bible has the word trouble occurring 109 times in 110 verses, and every time you look at it, you see something that's different, but if there's four places in Job where the word trouble is really highlighted here. And it goes with your current situation today. Now, if you're a liberal compromiser and you want everybody to like you, I'll read you Job 3, verse 26, that I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. So you can be a compromiser all you want to, trouble's coming your way. You can try to befriend both sides, you're still getting trouble.
That's right.
Then Job chapter 5, verse 6 says, yet man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward. Can I get an amen right there? Born into trouble. Why? Because Genesis 3 is in your Bible. This world plunged into sin. You can't be without trouble because sin and trouble go together. Job chapter 14, verse 1. It's on your prayer list every Wednesday night. Man that is born of a woman is full of days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. And then a question's asked in Job 27, verse 9, where it says, will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? That's where you spare tire religionists. Every time you get in trouble, you call on God and it seems to work out. You need to think about what the fix tell you. Who's working that out for you? Now think about that. If you're not living for God at all, then every time trouble comes, you throw that spire tire religion on it, it works out. That may not be God answering that. I've had a lot of people tell me, if it wasn't for the good Lord, I know all good Lord man upstairs, but let's listen to it again. Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? If somebody's answering your prayers and you're not living for God, you better watch out who that is.
That's right.
The devil don't come to you and say, I'm here to ruin your life. According to the Bible, he's an angel of light. He shows up and says, hey, I'm God. I'd like to help you. So it's kind of like somebody said, well, in my spirit, I feel led of the spirit. And it's not in the Bible. It's against the Bible. Well, that's the wrong spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit don't contradict this book. But as we look into this chapter, the key verse, we'll read it here in a minute, is verse 9. 24 verses, 742 words, all inspired by God. This particular chapter to 7.9 grade level. And verses 1 through 13, you got the perversions. Then you got verses 14 through 16 where God deals with them with a punishment. And then after that, his hand is stretched out still, verse 17 through 24, with the provisions they need to get right. Now, if you'll notice in verse 9, we're going to read there, it says, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. Sounds like a crowd he's talking about, ain't they? Something about that right there, ain't it? For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers and seers he covered. And what we see there by the opening statement there in this section, he said, stay yourselves and wonder. It's the equivalent of saying to look at yourself. It's saying, look and see what you're really doing and look and see what I've done, God says. But verse 11 says, and the vision of all, he says, is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Now notice that. The words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. By the precept of men. I want to talk to you today about the sealed book. The sealed book. Last Sunday morning, we looked at 17 verses left out of all the modern translations. One of them, in their reprint, put one back in. They took 1 John chapter 5 and took part of verse 6 and part of verse 8 and made a new verse 7 that's not the verse 7 in your Bible. And they said, see, we only got 16 verses. You know what that makes me think of? That makes me think of the cigarette company that the government did a study and said that this particular brand of cigarettes had 20 cancerous causing chemicals. Okay? They did their own independent study and they said, you're wrong. We only have 19 cancerous causing chemicals. Well, good for you. You've only got 19 or 20. Who wants to have 19 over 20 cancerous causing things that you know are going in your body? Listen, I don't want to get on this too hard, but I want to say this. I don't run down people that smoke out in public, and I try not to just blow them out from the pulpit all the time. But has it ever occurred to you, you're paying $5 a pack to get cancer? Mm. Oh, you don't know, my granny smoked, she was 100. Granny probably grew that too.
Yeah.
Okay? There is a difference after it goes through the process it goes through and gets to you. There's more people I know than not that after they get about a certain age, they can't get rid of a cough, and it's not COVID-19. Why is that? Well, there's only 19 cancerous causing chemicals. See? But I want to talk to you today about the sealed book. Let's go to the Lord in prayer about the sealed book. Father, we love you. And I pray, God, that you'll help us today, God, and open our eyes today according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God, that you'd help me today as I preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And God, to your glory, to your honor and praise, we want to give this message to you, God, to be a blessing to us and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I got some bad news and I got some good news for you today. But first, we'll start with the bad news. In verse number 11, he says about the sealed book, the book was sealed from the scholar because it says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. If you've ever read your Bible more than two or three times, you've ever studied your Bible, you know this is the sealed book he's talking about. This book in front of you. Before you got saved, you might could have picked out certain things here and there, or hears things from somebody else, but it was sealed to the lost people. But more importantly, I want to point out that it's sealed to the scholar in this verse. He says in verse 11, which men delivered to one that is learned. That's your Bible scholar. So who is that? That's that dude that teaches at the Bible college, and everybody thinks, man, that guy's so full of wisdom, so full of knowledge. I want to ask you something. Have you ever heard somebody say that about somebody, then you hear them talk or preach or something, and all they do is correct the Bible? It's in every major Christian school. They'll have at least one on staff. Why? Because we're living in apostasy, not revival. We're at the last of the last days, not the Philadelphian church age. We're in Laodicea on the backside of it. And by making that statement, let me say this. The book is sealed from the scholar. He said, we're going to deliver it to one that is learned. And we're going to tell him, he said, verse 11, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. There's a reason why Dr. Widebottom and Dr. Smellfungus and Dr. Don't Want Nobody to Hate Me all correct this book. They can't understand it. This book is sealed to them. There was a guy that I watched a video of down in Pensacola Christian College down there, and for years he corrected the Bible in classrooms over and over and over. And he come up one day, and then all of a sudden, after all them books about the King James Bible for independent Baptists, if you want people to come to your school, you had to tell them it's King James only, or they wouldn't send their kids. So this guy, who's a known Bible corrector 20 years, he does a video in which he holds up Bill Grady's book, Final Authority, says, Now, we're not fanatics like this guy is, but we believe this is the English Bible. You haven't believed it in 20 years. You've corrected it in every class you had. You know what God does? His arm stretched out still to people like that. For 20 years, he let that stuff go on. On the I-385 bypass, it's called, or 485 down Atlanta, the one that goes around Atlanta, the man was driving in his little car, and a truck just fell over on him. How many times you ever heard that about a wreck? Squashed him like a bug. God said, okay, you're not going to do right. I had my arm out 20 years. Why couldn't he understand it? The man was lost. That's why. A man that stands up and corrects God's book, it's sealed to him. It's sealed to the scholar. He can't get it. He can't get it. We see these guys come and go that have all these big letters behind their name, and we go hear them preach, and to hear them preach, boy, they're just so humble, this and another, and all of a sudden they begin to correct God. Nobody seems to care anymore. Well, God give that to that man. God didn't give that to that man to correct that book. A better rendering in this chapter would be, and they know how to hold their hands because they read the book on pulpit mannerisms, and they've taught it in class, and they know when to stand, and when to stop, when to whisper, when to get loud. And that dazzles you so much you never corrected. He just took Jesus out of a verse in Matthew. Never even saw it coming, did you? He said that the Greek text does not have Iesus in that.
He lied. It does. He's just using the wrong Greek text. This book sealed to that man. It's sealed to the scholar.
If you ever wonder why they do that, that's why. So you calling all Bible correctors lost? God said that it is sealed to him that is learned. Are you listening to me? I didn't say it. God said it. So for your favorite preacher that uses the New King James Version or the New NIV or the New American Standard, that's your guy? Your guy is not saved. He's sealed out of this book. God sealed him out of it. Ain't that something? Listen to this one. Verse 12. Well, here's what we'll do. We'll go get down and get us a redneck, country, barely speaks English preacher, and we'll give him that book, and he'll do something with it. Verse 12. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned. Now, listen to this. I have had one too many of these guys come into the Bible college and say, I'm just some ignorant something other. I don't know nothing. They'll brag on how stupid they are, and then for the next hour, they tell you how smart they are. I tell them all the same thing. Once we get in homiletics class, here's how this works. If you cannot speak English and you're going to an English-speaking crowd, you're already in trouble if you're bragging how ignorant you are. God did not call you to be ignorant all your life. You may be ignorant and not know what's going on, but you're not stupid and quit acting like it. It's not your most charming feature there, dear preacher. Your most charming feature to us is your feet anyway. How beautiful are the feet of those that bear them good tidings. They spend all their time on their hair, and it's their feet we like. Amen and amen. I'm not endorsing preaching wearing flip-flops, so you need to get rid of them, quit flipping and flopping and get you some real shoes. What's that you said? Where you at? What? If you ain't got Crocs, you don't rock. That's how you know. If you ain't crocking, you ain't rocking. That's what he said. He said that. I heard this man say that this morning. I don't like them things, but I like how he said that. How about that? But I'm going to tell you something. It's the truth in this book. He said right there, and the book is delivered to him that has not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. He saith, I have not learned. If you can't read English, you can't preach to English people. Now that you're wondering about that statement, let me take it a bit further. I believe we had a guy here last Sunday night. God's called to the right place. He knows what, listen, he knows all the right phrases and words and can go back to his own people like Ezekiel and give them this book.
That's right.
He does, listen, the book's sealed from the simple because he said, I can't do this either. See, if you've been in the ministry 20 years and you barely know John 3:16 and barely can read Psalm 23, don't quit. Start doing right. Instead of running out here and fishing and hunting all day and watching NASCAR on Sunday and all this other stuff so you can fit in with the rednecks, get back in God's book. Get back and say, Lord, it's been sealed from me. Help me out. He'll help you out. If a scholar wants to turn from all that and turn to the Lord, he'll accept him too. But as it stands right now, they preaching on fumes. It's sealed from the simple. I know people right now, for some reason, they think alliteration is the king of preaching. But here's the bottom line. I don't care if you're preaching alliteration, alliterated. And some people alliterate the introduction and the conclusion and the points and all that, and the sub-points and sub-sub-points. That don't make you a preacher. What makes you a preacher is whether you preach this book or not. Do you give the truth that is found in each word in the Bible as written? See, there's some people stay up at night and they pace on the floor. Sunday night or Saturday night, they're like this. Well, I know such and such involved such sin. I need to say something about that. I need to work that into the message and all that stuff. Forget all that. You need to get in this book. Let God take care of all of that stuff. Because I promise you, if you saved in here at all, every one of you, now listen very carefully. You have had something you have hid from God and hid from men. And you walk in here, and I preach anywhere in this Bible, and God nails that thing down for you. Has that ever happened? Of course it has. You've walked in and said, well, nobody knows, and I'll preach on that very thing. You think I've watched you all week. One of the two happens. That's how God works. And you know what it is? It's this sharper than two-edged sword that cuts asunder. dividing the bone from the marrow, exposing that thing, making it bleed, making it hurt. God, like a skilled surgeon, takes this skilled knife here and just cuts right to the point. Here's the good thing. That's God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. This bunch is trying to preach how to and why and all this other stuff and help you with your little feelings. They're hurting you. Well, we just want to encourage people. I'm just ignorant and unlearned. I want to encourage people. Here's some bad news for you. God's already sealed the book to you. You're not getting that from God. That's you. That's you, not him. If you look down in verse number 13, those two are bad news. Here's even more bad news. It says here, the book is sealed from the sinner. Jesus quotes this in Matthew 15, verse 7 through 9. And I want you to get this. It says, wherefore the Lord said, right there in verse 13. I want you to understand something. Had God said this to Isaiah already, or is he looking ahead to when Jesus says it? He is a prophet, by the way. He quotes Jesus 1,500 years ahead of time. Jesus quotes him. Now, ain't that something? Wherefore the Lord said, you won't find it prior to this where the Lord said it. Isaiah's dealing in prophecy, right? Isaiah 53, same man, talking about the same Savior. Look at this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, he says, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The book is sealed from the scholar, it's sealed from the simple, and it's sealed from the sinner. Well, I would read the Bible, but it's kind of boring. This book's boring. You mean to tell me you'll watch and read things secular, but this is boring? You know why it is? It's not because it's a boring book. It's sealed from you. You can't read it. These people say, well, I can't understand it, so I'll get me a modern version. It don't matter if you get 10 modern versions. This book's sealed to you. You get that? This book contains every word of God. Those other ones, on their best day, contain some of the word of God, but they're all sealed to you. So I don't believe that. Let me ask you a question. How many times have you said, well, I'm going to get right with God. Instead of reading the Bible, you go buy a devotional book. Oh, this is so wonderful. I just love the way this. This book's sealed from you. God did that. God did. Why? Because he said right there in verse 13, he said right there, look at this. This people draw near me with their mouth. Well, I love the Lord. Really, why was you at the liquor store 2 days ago? Jesus wasn't there, I promise you. Well, you know me, I love the Lord. Why are you shacking up then? Well, I love the Lord. Well, why is it that when church time comes, you can't find your way to church? Their lips, they do honor me. But their heart, he says, far from me. If I've heard it one time, and if you've heard it one time, I've heard it 1,000 times. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's remarkable. But you don't have to go to McDonald's to be a Big Mac either. But listen to this. For a fact, God sealed off his book for you for a reason. He knows you. He knows your kind. He's watched human history for all these thousands of years. He knows exactly what you are. He knew it ahead of time, so he sealed the book where you can't open it. Now, we're talking about a book being sealed or a letter being sealed. In the old days, they had something. They'd write that thing out. They'd fold it over, and they'd take candle wax and drip it on there, and they'd take a very special stamp and put it on there. And the only one that was to open that seal was the one it was addressed to. God don't use candle wax. His seal, every time you see it, is the Holy Spirit of God. When he says he sealed something, that's how he seals. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and chapter 4, verse 30, when he said that you as a believer are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that's an unbreakable seal. God seals it with his Spirit. And we get to look at this book. The bad news is the scholar can't unseal it, the simple can't unseal it, and the sinner can't unseal it. That's the bad news. But the good news is this. The book can be opened by the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look over at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Isn't it a miracle that, you know, prior to the book of Revelation being written to us, we hear the prophet saying the book's sealed. He said that book is sealed. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1 says, and it says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book. Now watch this. Written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. We have found that book. There it is right there. That's the only other time a book is sealed, right there. Isaiah 29 here. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. Now that's a scary thought. What if nobody can do it? I did say we had good news here, right? Listen to this. Verse 5. One of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth in all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now watch what he does. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. I wonder when all them outfits that call themselves new song and contemporary, and we're going to sing new songs to the Lord. This ain't even happened yet. Now watch. If this ain't happened yet, and he says they took a new song, that worthy to take the book, them churches make minimum of the Bible and minimum of the Savior. Where they singing this new song, much is made about the Savior and him opening this book. He said, thou art worthy to take the book, verse 9, and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Oh, listen, somebody wrote a post the other day on Facebook praising Jesus Christ and his shed blood for salvation. Then somebody got there and said, well, now in Acts, they got their sins, they were washed by remission in the baptistry. It don't say the blood. I believe it just did. I believe you need to understand the church doctrine is based on church epistles, not the history of God's people, not the Old Testament, but the New Testament, in particular Paul's writings. From, I do believe, Romans all the way to the book of Hebrews. How about that? God is so good, he sealed that book to people. They wandered around in the baptistry trying to get forgiveness of sins. What are they? They're sealed. They're sealed out of it. If you ever wonder why there's people in cults, they're supposed to be smart people. There's a businessman in town. He's got the same mentality as people like that. You work your way to heaven. They cannot see, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast. They can't see it. Why can't they see it when you show it to them? They're sealed. The good news is, right here in Revelation 5, somebody took the seals off. And it says, after they sung a new song, it says in verse 10, hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld the voice of many angels round about the throne, and beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That word that they're describing there in English, they didn't have millions back then, but they're talking about an unlimited numbered crowd. Now watch. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto them that sitteth upon the throne. It says, and unto the Lamb, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. My soul, did you just read what I just read? 14 verses telling you who opened this book and what happens when he opens the book. Do you remember when you got saved? If you're in here and you saved, do you remember when you got saved and you started reading the Bible the first time? God spoke to you. First time I ever read the Bible and got anything out of it ever was about 2 hours after I got saved. I got saved at 15 to midnight, somewhere around 2 o'clock. We walked in there and we prayed for Justin. He was supposed to have died in 1994. And they said that he ain't gonna make it. I said, you mind if I, this man led me to Christ, you mind if we pray? And my daddy was there, and I was there, Joel Gardner was here, and that old fat doctor that wouldn't shave was right there. Remember, what was his name, honey? You remember?
Golding.
Was he a Jew? Mm-hmm. Probably so, Golding. That's, listen to this. It'd be just like God to put one in there to do this for him. He said, it won't hurt nothing for sure. That's not a believer that says something like that. Well, it won't hurt nothing, sure. We prayed. First time in my life, I seen God do a miracle. I saw it in the hospital that night. And the miracle wasn't so much as he healed Justin that night, gave him 25 more years. That's God's glory. But when I went back in that doctor, I said, Doc, I said, I was outside in the lobby reading the Bible. I said, I just got saved, by the way. I don't know if you saved or not. I'm going to read you something. I said, God says right here, and I showed it to him, see sheep for man whose breath is in his nostrils, wherein is he been counted of. God had let me know through that not to trust him, but to trust him. Don't trust the doctor, trust the great physician.
That's right.
He sat there and he teared up. He said, God, I sure hope so. I said, well, I'm going to go get some sleep. I'll see you. I hadn't slept a good night in my life till that night. 24 years old, I laid down, pushed 2 chairs together, best sleep I ever had. You know why? I had peace now.
I know that's right.
Remember that night?
Mm.
Remember when God first showed you something in his book and said, there I am, trust me? It's a long story. Well, I didn't read all the way to Isaiah in that little bit of time. I just started there, and I only got 2 chapters in, but I know where God is now. I know where God speaks from now. I didn't know it before then, but I knew it then. God speaks out of this book. So what happened? I don't know what happened. I guess the good news happened. Somebody unsealed that book. Look over at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. God unsealed that book, and he done it by the hand of Jesus Christ. When the book was delivered to the Lamb, the book got opened. Luke chapter 24. If you'll look down at verse 27. Jesus had been crucified. 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose, right? He had been telling them that the whole time. They said, Peter said the first time he heard it, he said, not so, Lord. He told them again, then they got sad. And in Luke chapter 24, they saying, have you not heard what's happened? They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. And he walked with these people and said this. They said, we don't know what's going on. Verse 25, then he said to them, O fools and of slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now let me ask you a question. These people would have been aged 20 to 40 years old. The prophets had closed out 540 years prior to this. What did he just say? All that the prophets have spoken. Not written, spoken. Now ain't that something? They said, do you not believe that? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Luke records Abel as in Cain and Abel, and Abel being a prophet. He says here in all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What did he do? He's unsealed the book. It's been sealed to the scholar. It's been sealed to the simple. It's been sealed to the sinner. And he opens the book. And he just told them that all the prophets have spoken. You'll recognize that from Isaiah chapter 8, where Isaiah was told by God to get some men to copy down what he said. He did that. You have the book of Isaiah. And then we swing right over there to the New Testament, and Peter says over there, he said that the scriptures are inspired, and holy men of God spake. What happened to that? Somebody wrote it down. Your New Testament book of Mark don't belong to Peter. It belongs to Paul, because it's Paul who says, bring with you John Mark at the end of his life. And that very special paper we've been writing the scriptures on. See, where'd John Mark get Mark? Paul. You mean he didn't get it from the Pope? Nope, not at all. Peter didn't give him that. Paul did. Are you listening to me? Them apostles had something the rest of these people didn't have. You know what it was? Inspiration. Now let me show you something. When people say, God told me, and it's not in the Bible, God didn't tell them that. I don't care what it is. Look down at verse 44. This is what your Bible says now. And he said to them, now he's now got his disciples together again. These are the men that's going to shake the world up right here. But they got to have something first. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. Jesus Christ is identified as prophet, priest, and king. There he is, identified as a prophet right there. While I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. While ago it was spoken, now it's written. Did you see that from verse 27, verse 4? It was written, spoken in one place, written another, just like Isaiah in the Old Testament, just like Peter said all the books of the Bible be. He said, written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. Can I say this for you? The Savior is the only one who can open that book for you. I've sat under some people that were some of the smartest people I've ever met. The good news is I didn't let my education get in the way of my learning. Because sometimes human beings that are saved can be wrong about things. You remember the guy that done the movie The Burning Hell? Great man of God, pastored a church about the size of this one for a long time. At the end of his life, he totally bounced the ball out of bounds. He put out a book against the King James Bible. And the strangest thing is, he quoted a guy who didn't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which is A.T. Robertson, is saying the word new in 2 Corinthians 5 don't mean new, it means like a do-over. He said, that's why when you get a revelation, that's why that same Greek word's used, and it means a do-over over here. We're not getting a new heaven and earth. God's just going to clean these up. I got news for you. When God says any man's in Christ is a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he means absolutely new. And his reasoning was, A.T. Robertson's reasoning, an amillennial baby sprinkler, said that means you just get a do-over on the outside. Here's the problem. You go look that word up in the Greek, you know what you find out? He's exactly wrong. Because the same word's used over there, but then we swing back to that Old Testament, Isaiah, the little Bible, 66 chapters, all the things, he mentions a new heaven and a new earth, and he don't use Greek word one. He uses Hebrew word. You know what that Hebrew word means? New, like brand new. So the Old Testament prophet said there's going to be a new heaven and new earth, for the former things going passed away, just like the Old Testament does. If them things are passed away and you put a new one in its place, I want to see you do over right there. And I'll give you something else that will surprise you to the very core of your being. The day you got saved, you became new. Yeah, man, but I still got my same old... No, you got that same old flesh. That dead spirit that was in you that you was born dead with is gone, and God put a new spirit within you, a little s, new spirit within you. He said, I put my spirit within you. You got a new spirit, now you can communicate with God, and God said, I'm going to seal you until the day of redemption with that seal that he sealed this book with. He said, I'm going to teach you this book through him. Same seal on both of them. The only way you're going to get in is though the Savior's got to let you in on the thing. He's got to teach you. The Comforter has got to teach you. He's got to be your comforter. He's got to be your teacher. He's going to guide you into all truth. Or else you're sitting there with a sealed book. So how do we unseal it? You don't. You got to come to Jesus Christ, admit you are the sinner or the simple or the scholar that can't get in. Not of your works. You don't understand this with the dictionary. You understand this with the Holy Spirit of God. You don't come to this book to find what you believe. You come to this book and find out what it says, and you stand on that. More times than not, you find God telling people to stand in the New Testament. Why? Because there's going to be so many coming to take the truth away. Imagine if you were that pastor out in California, and every time you met, they fined you $10,000. Their fine's up to about $50,000 right now because they're singing in church. You know what? The Jehovah's Witnesses ain't getting fined. You know why they don't sing? They ain't got nothing to sing about. The Mormons ain't singing. They ain't got nothing to sing about either. But if you know him that unsealed this book, his name is wonderful. That's right. Him. If you know the one that wrote this book and you're saved by him and through his precious blood, every song today we sung about is all about him. You know why people say, well, we don't like him kind of services? They don't know him. A man told me, he said, I'm making my church where all sinners can come in comfortable. He said, what do you think about that? He said, you old traditionalist. I said, you got that right, buddy. I said, we don't want lost people to come in here and feel comfortable, because if they do, they'll die and go to hell in that kind of in that shape. Every time I went to church and I was lost, I always ran into God in them places. Every time. So what'd you do? Well, I didn't go forward and get saved, obviously.
I'd had probably a whole lot better time with life than I did the first 24 years. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I went in there and respectfully listened to the message, and every time I thought, dear God, I don't even know this guy. He's knocking me out the park here. How they do that, wonder? Then I thought, please get here 12 o'clock, because I know he'll close at 12. I can get out and I'd be under conviction no more. I want people that's lost to be under conviction. I want God to deal with them. I want them to know this is God's house, God's building, God's pews, God's pulpit, God's Bible, God's choir, God's quartet, God's musicians. It's all about Jesus Christ. And we magnify them and lift him up. There's where the comfort for the lost ends, because we're not lifting them up, we're lifting him up. And what happens then? Oh, get this part. I'll draw all men unto myself. Who does that? John 6:44. Jesus Christ does it by the Holy Spirit. What am I, mighty God? We hallelujah. You can do all that you want to and try to evoke something, but that's the same thing Satanists do. We don't evoke the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh no, we lift him up. He's the high and wonderful one that's worthy to be praised. Why? But not just because he died for your sins, but he got up from the grave and justified you by him getting up out of that grave. He took his precious blood and put it in the only place in heaven where it would be accepted. That's on that altar right there before God. You can hear it right now. That's not in the Bible, but you get to see it one day. God will roll back time and show you everything. You'll get to hear him say, that's my beloved son whom I'm well pleased when he puts that altar, that blood on that altar. You say, you're saying something's not in the Bible. No, it's there. It's just not stated. When he said it there, when he was in his glory, he said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. He meant that. Hebrews chapter 1, he's spoken to us these last days by his son. We call his son the word of God. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. And we come to this book, it's the written word of God. So we got the living word and the written word, and we don't worship the Bible, by the way, we worship the author. This is a sealed book. You know, let me tell you something. When people come in here and see that thing down there, you know what they say? Oh, them's them ignorant people. We used to be ignorant people. Then we started coming here and saying, show us, Lord. Right. We're nothing, Lord. We're nothing. Show us, Lord. And God shows it to us. Well, how are you going to cope with society this week? I ain't even worried about that crowd. Well, what about COVID-19? I'll put your mask up and shut your mouth. You're going to find out November 4th. You've been lied to.
Right.
Watch this carefully. We come to this sealed book. Lord, will you show it to me? God says, I will. I'll show you anything I want to show you. How about you read your Bible this week with the emphasis on, Lord, you just show it to me. He will.
They, some of you told me some profound truths in private about something God told you, and God never showed me that. So he don't give it all to one person. He gives it to everybody that wants it. He said, listen, you come to him, he'll open this book for you. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The one part that people never get out of this book, and you tell them it's sealed to them, they never understand this book's about Jesus Christ not winning arguments.
Hmm.
Well, my Bible's better than yours because my preacher said, you already lost. This book's about Jesus. No book in this world that calls itself a Bible exalts Jesus Christ more than this book. Oh, we want the literal Greek rendering. Oh, shut up. You can't even speak that language. All you do by quoting statements like that is using dead men's brains to show how dead you are. You come to this book, we're talking about a live Christ, a living Christ. He that is alive forevermore. And we got this book, the sealed book that God's unsealed and gave it to us. Has he gave this book to you? Are you unsealed yet? Has he unsealed the book for you? The only way that's unsealed, he's got to seal you by his spirit. That way he can bond you to the word of God. And listen to this. We just read it in Sunday school. In the unity of the, what's that word? Spirit in the bond of peace. I looked up that word bond when he's talking about the date. I thought, that's pretty odd. That means relationship, fellowship, and to be bound to something. So when you got the bond of peace and the unity of spirit, you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. You get all three things right here in this book. Well, I ain't having a good week. Join the club. I did read Trouble for you, right? That's both sides, saved and lost. But the difference is who you sealed to. You sealed to the Holy Spirit. It's just another day waiting on paradise, friend. There's going to be trouble on this side of the grave for the saved and the lost. Every time you hear the word cancer, I don't mean that person saved, they might be lost with it. They might be, God gives it to both. Every time you see somebody in a casket, guess what? We all head that way. All of us. You have went to funerals that you thought when you were a child you'd never see those people die and they're dead. Listen to me. Get back to the Lord. Ask him this week to unseal this book. Brother Rennie Campbell told me something one time years ago. I told him I'd found this verse I was going to start praying for. I read the Bible. He said, what verse is that? I said, it's Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, thou may behold wondrous things of all. I said, Brother Rennie, I think I need to read that to God and pray that to God before I pray. Before I get in the Bible and say, let the Lord teach me some things. He said he knew a man, and he never called his name. It's while he was on deputation in 1993. He said he went to this church, and he mentioned that verse preaching. And the preacher came up to him and showed him his Bible. At the top of every page was Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, I remember wondrous thing in this book. He said, I wrote that there, so every day I'm reminded I'm not getting the feed till the shepherd puts it in the bowl. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know what the crazy thing is? I never memorized that verse. I said, I got to memorize this. You know why? I said it so much, it just became a part of me. But there's another thing you need to know. God will do that for you. If you want something, he'll give it to you. Do you want something? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.